like to ask you this morning, if you will, please get a Bible and turn to Psalm 24. There are only 10 verses here. I encourage you to get a Bible on the pew. If you don't have your own Bible, and to look at these verses, always, I think, help to read God's Word as it's being read out loud, to be taking it in through your ears and your eyes. We'll look at Psalm 24 before we begin to read and study from God's Holy Word. I would ask you to please join your heart together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to live and enjoy another day. We thank Thee for sparing our lives, the lives of our family and the members and friends of the church and our friends. We thank You for sparing us through another night. We thank You for sparing our nation through another night. And we pray that You would bless us individually, bless us as a church, bless our nation, and bless all of Your people the world over. And we pray that You would bless all of Your children in a very special way, that You would be with each one. You know the needs of each of Your children. We pray that You would help them and bless them and help us to know what we can do to help others. We pray that You would bless all of us this day, that we might hear the Word of God, that we might understand the truth of Thy Word. We pray that Thy Spirit would be our teacher, that Thou would guide us and direct us into that portion of Thy Word, that Thou would have us to study and to learn. And we pray that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We pray that we might see Jesus as our King, the King of kings and Lord of lords in this hour. We pray that You would help us to exalt Him and honor Him and serve Him as our King each day of our life. And we beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. You know those that are on our hearts and minds that stand in great need of Thy help. And we pray that Thou, as the great physician, would touch their bodies, strengthen them, and lift them up. Those who are sick spiritually, we pray that You would help them. No matter what the problems are, Lord, we know that You're able to touch and heal and bless. And we pray that You would bless all of Your children, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. For we acknowledge that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need Your help in every way. Bless us now in this hour. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 24. The Word of God says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place?" Those are two questions that he asked in that verse. There are going to be four questions in this psalm. I've just read you two of those questions in verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? The answer to those two questions is found in the next couple of verses. He says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah." Verse 7 begins, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and ye lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? That's the third question. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory, the Lord of hosts? He is the King of glory. So there are four questions asked here, and the answers to all four of those questions are found in the psalm. The main questions are on my heart are the last two questions, which is a repeat of the same one, where the question is asked, who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? Last Sunday, we tried to say last Sunday morning how Jesus said, ye call me master. Last Sunday morning, we just looked at, ye call me master. That means supreme teacher. And you say, well, for so I am. Last Sunday night, we tried to study how Jesus said, ye call me Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. This morning, we're looking at another characteristic of Jesus, another title of Jesus, which is the King of Glory. That's the way the Word of God describes Jesus here. Who is the King of Glory? I want all of us to understand today that though there are many different kings mentioned in the Word of God, name some of those kings that you know about that are in the Word of God. Right, there's King Nebuchadnezzar, King Saul, King David, King Solomon. There are a lot of different kings that are mentioned in the Word of God. But as you study the Word of God, you find that there is one king above all the other kings. He's called the King, capital K. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That means that doesn't matter how many kings you might look at, there is one king who is supreme and over all the other kings of the earth. The prophecies often speak about the coming of the Messiah. And when the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, when they spoke about the coming of Jesus Christ, hundreds of years before he was ever born, they often spoke about the king is coming. They would talk about the Messiah is going to be the King of heaven and earth. The Messiah is going to come and he's going to establish his kingdom, and his kingdom shall be forever. That's the promise that the people of God were looking for. In addition to looking forward to a Savior, they were looking forward to the King coming. Notice, for example, just one. We'll not look at a lot of those, but I do want to mention one place in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah, a great prophet of God, talked about when the Messiah comes that he was going to be a great king. Remember, the question is, in Psalm 24, the question is, who is the King of Glory? And in Jeremiah chapter 23, listen please to verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah is prophesying the coming of Christ. And he says in Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, he says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice. Notice the last three words there. What are the last three words of that verse?
In the earth.
This king was going to reign, and he was going to rule, and he was going to execute judgment and justice in the earth. That was the promise of the coming of the king. Any other promises in the Old Testament? But I want us to go down to the New Testament and see what the Word of God says about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you know that when the angel Gabriel, we're not turn right now, if you will, to Matthew, but I want to mention while you're turning to Matthew chapter 2, I want you to remember that when the angel Gabriel went to Mary and told her that she was going to bring forth a child, one of the statements that the angel Gabriel told her was that he is going to be the king. Jesus was going to be the king. And that caused her to ponder in her heart what all of that meant. But in Matthew chapter 2, I want you to know that, and I want you to think about this because I've never really meditated on that, never thought about it until this week as I've been studying the subject of who is the King of Glory. What is the number one thing that made people on this earth angry? What is the number one title that made people angry about Jesus? Was that he was the Savior? Is that what made people mad and want to kill Jesus because he was the Savior?
No.
No. Was it because he was a great teacher? Is that a reason that everybody hated Jesus? Was it because he was a great teacher? No. The one thing that all the people of the world despised, and the one thing that they mocked him for, was that he was supposed to be the king in his glory, and they did not see any king in his glory. They saw him as a peasant. They saw him as a poor man. They saw him as one who had no authority at all. How could that possibly be the king in his glory? And yet they hated him when they heard that he was the king. Notice in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew 2 verses 1 and 2, and I want you to remember that it is recognizing and honoring Jesus as our king that makes the world furious. Who is your number one allegiance to? Our allegiance above any other person should be to Jesus Christ, the King of glory. When there is ever a contradiction in the laws of our land and the laws of Jesus Christ, it's the laws of Jesus Christ that we are to follow. He is our King. He is the King of kings. And it does not matter what the President or the Supreme Court says is right or just or good. I want you to always remember that if you're faithful to the King who is the King of glory, that you will always follow His word and not the laws of the land. When the laws of the land contradict the King of kings, it's the King of kings whose laws that we are to follow. It's His way, it's His word that we are to adhere to. In Matthew chapter 2, listen please to verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king," was Herod the king?
Yeah.
Now, remember, Herod was the king. "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born?" What's the expression they use there? The wise men said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They were come to worship the king. They had come to worship the king. How did that make Herod feel? How did Herod react to that news that the king was born? Do you remember how he sent out a decree? Now he began to pretend. He told the wise men, "When you find him, you come tell me, and I'll go worship him too," which was a lie, because Herod despised any other king. And so it is, brethren, sometimes in our own lives, we're not willing to put Jesus as our king. We're not willing to acknowledge him as our king, because we're much like Herod, who we want to remain king, and we don't want to bow down to the king who is the king of glory. We don't want to bow down to Jesus Christ. That was Herod's main problem, is that he did not want to bow down to any other king. He did not want to lose his glory. "He that glorieth," the scripture says, "he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, who is the King of glory." What did Herod do after the wise men did not come back and tell him where Jesus, the King of the Jews, was? What did Herod do?
He made a decree.
He made a decree that all those babies that were 2 years and younger, that all of them would be killed. You just think about, was it the news that he was the Savior? Was it the news that he was the Master? No, it was the news that the King had been born. That was the news that infuriated Herod as well as most of the people. It was his claim and the prophecy that he was the King, that Jesus was the King of glory. Now, when you think about the life of Jesus, while he was here on this earth for about 33 years, and you think about his life, and you think about where he was born, Do you view a king being born in a stable? Is that the way you view a king? Do you view a king as being, in that day, a lowly job of a carpenter? Do you view a king going around just building things? That's not the view that we would have of a king. And in fact, as you study the life of Jesus Christ, I do not believe that you will see in his actions and the way he lived while he was here on this earth, I do not believe you will see him in those places. As far as a natural sense, you will not see him as the King of Glory. But if you have spiritual eyes, even though you might not see him as a material, physical, rich king, you will see him still. If you have spiritual eyes, I believe there were people, even in all of his poverty, that saw this is the King of Glory. The natural man could not see that, but the spiritual man could. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. This is toward the end. This was in the beginning of his life that we just read in Matthew chapter 2 that he was called the king. And toward the end of his life, as he's making his triumphal entry, into Jerusalem, do you remember how he made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem? Do you remember the majesty that he had and how he entered into Jerusalem toward the end of his life? Listen in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5. Look in your Bibles, please, at Matthew 21 and verse 5, and tell me, does this look like and does this sound like the King of Glory? Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5, the Word of God says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. He was on a donkey and the colt of a donkey. So, man, do you still have a donkey? Why do you keep that donkey? Never mind, that doesn't matter. He's got a donkey. How would a donkey compare to a stallion? Which one is not your donkey, I know, but other donkeys and stallions? Which one is the most sought after? A big, black, beautiful stallion like Black Beauty, or a little donkey like the donkey you have?
The stallion.
The stallion. That's the one that's the most valuable. And you would expect a king to come in on some big horse, a beautiful horse. That horse's bridle would have silver and the saddle would have silver and gold all over it. You would expect him maybe to not even ride on a horse, but you would expect him to come in a big chariot that's pulled by a large team of horses. But Jesus, the King of Glory, when he went into Jerusalem, he went in riding on a donkey and the coat of a donkey. Is that the King of Glory? Do you understand why the people would doubt that this is the one who had been prophesied in all the Old Testament? How could they believe this is the King of Glory? The only ones who could eat. And listen, were there people that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on this donkey and the colt of a donkey, were there people that gave him praise and glory and bowed down and worshiped him, even though he was just on a little donkey and the colt of a donkey? Were the people that bowed down and worshiped him?
Yeah.
Were there people that saw this is the King of Glory? Were there people that saw him as he really was? You know, sometimes in our lives, listen carefully, brethren, sometimes we look at people and we think, you know, that's not a very important person. I want all of you to know that Jesus said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I want you to know that there were people that because Jesus was not rich, if he had come in natural splendor and glory, if he had come with a mighty army, there are people that would have followed him as a king. But because he came so meekly and humbly, And everything about him was contrary to their perception of him being the King of Glory. They would not bow down to him. They could not even see any possibility that he was the King of Glory. And yet he was. And there were babes in Christ that saw Jesus. In spite of his poverty, they saw this is the King of Glory. Look at John chapter 18. Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 18. Now we're getting to the very end of the life of Jesus. In John chapter 18, he's being carried before Pilate. Let me ask you again, what was it? What was it that made Herod so mad about Jesus? What title, what characteristic was it about Jesus that made Herod so mad? He was the King of the Jews. Or at least they said he was the King of the Jews. That's what infuriated Herod, and likewise all through his life. And at the very close of his life, as he was before Herod, what was the one thing that Herod addressed? What was the one thing that made Herod mad? It was the same thing. I'm sorry, Pilate. What was the thing that made Pilate mad? It was the same thing that made Herod mad in the beginning of his life. In John chapter 18, listen please to verse 33. John chapter 18 and verse 33. The Word of God says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? Do you think he was almost mocking when he said that? You think you're the King of the Jews? You claim to be the King of the Jews? Even when they hung him on the cross, they said, you know, they just said, he says that he's the King of the Jews. And so Pilate asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Verse 36, listen to what Jesus says. And let me ask you this question before I read this. A king always has a kingdom. Remember that.
That's right.
A king always has a kingdom. Could the people in the days of Jesus Christ, as he was going about the earth, did they see any kingdom that he had? The Pharisees came to him after he had been preaching over and over. Him and all of the apostles, they'd all been preaching, and every New Testament preacher has been saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That meant it's just about to be established. And they did not see a kingdom. So at the close of the life of Jesus, they asked, where is thy kingdom? And Jesus said, my kingdom cometh not with observation. What does that mean? Observe something. That means
see
you what?
Can't see it.
You can't see my kingdom. And then he goes on in Luke 17:21, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where?
Within.
The kingdom of God is within you. Where does that king reign today? Where does the King of Glory reign today? Well, he reigns in our hearts, and that's the first thing I would want you to say. He reigns in my heart. If you honor the King, if you serve the King, then the King reigns in your heart. If he is more important to you than anyone else, including yourself, then he reigns in your heart. But I want you to know that Jesus, the King of Glory, right now, he reigns over all the earth. He is in total dominion and power. He is the King of Glory today in every way. Right here, as he's before Pilate, does he look like a king here? Is the King, my question is the King in his glory as he's before Pilate? I would say no, and I want you to watch this. In verse 36, after Pilate has asked him in verse 33, are you the King of the Jews? Verse 36 says, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate, therefore, said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. Was he a king? Was he a king? Thou sayest that I am a king. Now listen to what it says. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my words. Was Jesus the king? Was Jesus the great king? Was he the king of glory? Do you remember that after the resurrection, and this is just before his crucifixion, we still don't see him in his glory, but after the resurrection, he walked the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and the Word of God says that during that time that two of the disciples of Jesus after his crucifixion, two of the disciples of Jesus were walking along. You remember how Jesus came among them, and they began to moan and say, we thought Jesus was the king. We thought Jesus was the King of glory. And Jesus' response to them was this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Jesus said, Ought not Christ to have suffered and enter into his glory? Can you hear those last words? What was it that proceeded? This king who was born king of the Jews, this king who lived a meek and lowly life, this king who could not be seen by anyone to have any kingdom, this king now, after his resurrection, says, Ought not Christ to have suffered and then to do what? Enter into his what? Glory. Now, we're in John 18. Back up to John 17. I want you to notice this. John chapter 17. Jesus is about to go to Calvary in John 17. He's about to be crucified. And Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays to the Father and he prays and great drops of blood. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And in John chapter 17, listen please to verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Watch the wording now. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. What's he say? Father, do what? Glorify thy Son. Now, I believe that Jesus was going to be glorified after his resurrection, but he had not been glorified while he was here on the earth. But all he was going to do was to receive back the same glory that he had before he came into this world. He left the portals of glory. He was the King of glory before he was born of the Virgin Mary. And then when he was born of the Virgin Mary and he lived here on the earth, we do not see him as he's walking about. We don't see him with that unnatural eyes. We don't see him as the King of the glory, a King of glory. But now he's praying just prior to his crucifixion. And he says, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Come down to verse 5, John 17 and verse 5. Jesus in his prayer said, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Do you hear what Jesus says in that fifth verse? He's about to die. He's about to go to the cross of Calvary. What's he asking? Father, glorify me with the same glory, with thy glory. Glorify me with the same glory that I had before I came into the world. Do you see that Jesus laid aside his glory when he came down into this fifth verse? He laid aside his glory. Now, he was still the King of glory, even while he was here. But people couldn't see him as the King of glory. When Jesus was still on this earth, listen carefully in closing. I want to give you one very important scripture in closing. Turn back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verses 27 and 28. While Jesus was going about preaching about his kingdom and about him coming again, Brethren, most people, when they think of the second coming of Jesus, they only know about his final coming. But I want you to know that while Jesus was here on this earth in the flesh, listen carefully, while Jesus was in the flesh, here on this earth, when he had laid aside his glory and came down into the world, that Jesus kept telling the people, I'm coming again soon, and when I come again, I'm going to come in my glory. Listen now to Matthew 16, verses 27 and 28. These words were spoken by Jesus to his disciples while he was still in the flesh. And he says in Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man shall come. Is that a future coming? Has he already come and been born of the Virgin Mary at the time these words were written?
Yes.
Yes, he's already come. He's been born of the Virgin Mary. He's living on the earth right here. And he's talking now about a future coming when he says the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man, by the way? The Son of Man is Jesus Christ. The Son of Man shall come. That's the future coming from the time he spoke those words. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Did he know that right now he was not in his glory? Did he know that at this point in time, when he was speaking, he was not in his glory? And so he says, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now listen carefully to verse 28. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, verily, I say unto you, listen carefully, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Was he going to come back while some of those people were still alive and establish his kingdom? Yes, he was. Jesus has come and he has established his kingdom. He is right now, listen carefully, Jesus is in his glory right now as king of his kingdom. And the people of God who follow God and serve God and love Jesus, they will see Jesus right now while you're living. You'll see Jesus, who is the what? The King of Glory. You'll see him right now as the King of Glory if you'll follow him, because you'll enter then into his kingdom, and it's when you enter into his kingdom that you see him as he really is. You see that he is the King of Glory. May God help us to walk in such a way that we can enter into his kingdom and see the King of Glory every day of our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.